Okay, now joining us is David Ray Griffin. He's a professor and written some amazing books, and obviously a lot of you got a chance to see him on C-SPAN. And I think that he'd probably do a better job than I can of giving us a thumbnail sketch of who David Ray Griffin is for those that don't know. Mr. Griffin, thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, Alex. I've learned a lot from your show about 9/11 and other things, so I'm very glad to be on.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's an honor. I've read your new Pearl Harbor. I haven't read your new 9/11 commission report, but I did get a chance to see you on C-SPAN this weekend. For those that don't know who you are, tell us in a nutshell who David Ray Griffin is.
Well, I've just retired from teaching philosophy of religion and theology at the School of Theology at Claremont. So I've been teaching for some 30-some years, and I've written books on all sorts of topics. It was the first book on 9/11, The New Pearl Harbor, which was my first strongly political book.
Well, it's a powerful book. Tell us about the new book.
The new book is called The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, and that's kind of a mild subtitle. I could have just called it a 567-page lie, because when you get into it, you see it's just incredible the things they omit.
Well, it's also contradictory.
And self-contradictory, and most of all, contradicts all sorts of other facts, including what NORAD had been telling us for almost 3 years.
Now, again, you went over this on C-SPAN last weekend. I've been told that your hour talk and 30 minutes of questions is going to be re-aired this Saturday?
That's right. It'll be this Saturday at 2:30 Eastern time.
All right, David, I agree with everything you were saying in what I think was a kindly presentation. You could have been a lot more vicious, but you very, in a very calm way, presented the three different views of 9/11, and I got from what you were saying in your books that I mean, clearly you're resting, and I want to put words in your mouth, leaning towards the third. That's where all the evidence points. But something, I want to cover this first off, out of the gates here. The first thing you covered at the end of your major presentation about ways to deal with this was a world democracy. And I've seen UN documents and globalist documents going back 10 years where they say the people are going to wake up to the Anglo-American establishment, which is now run by the neocons, England and the U.S., this power axis. And so we've got to give them a choice. We'll give them a UN, quote, liberal choice. But then I look at who owns and controls the UN and the agencies that fund it and control it. It's the same corporations. They're playing good cop, bad cop. You didn't elaborate on that, but I want to get your exact view on that so I understand it.
Yeah, well, my view is I'm not talking about the just strengthening the UN. I should say, my focus now is on 9/11 and the American empire and trying to get the truth out about these things. The question of what's the alternative is a very important question, and that's what I'm going to address in my future books. Let me just say very briefly what I have in mind is, we're all in favor of democracy, but we mean real democracy, not plutocracy. So we mean a real democracy where money doesn't determine the votes, but just the people's basic values and wishes. So the idea of global democracy is simply that if democracy is the right form of government for a nation, why shouldn't it be the right form of order for the world as a whole, so that the people of the world can start directing their own affairs and taking care of their planet, rather than having one nation dictating, or at most seven nations dictating the global economy?
Yeah, the G7, G8. But, I mean, let's elaborate on that for a second, then we'll get into 9/11 because that's why you're here. But in your talk, you crowned it with what we're now discussing, so we need to kind of extrapolate here and to get to the bottom of it. If you're talking about an alliance of free nation states through mutual treaties together, standing up against, of the 100 biggest economies, 45 of them are corporations, as you know, if you're talking about the people banding together against this powerful power block, then I agree with you. But if it's some fake left maneuver through the UN, that's going to be a false flag false savior, good cop, bad cop operation. And I've read the globalists saying that's part of their plan, David. And so that's what I'm getting at here.
Well, you know, there are different globalists, and there's the so-called globalization from above, which is what you're rightly worried about. And then there's what many people call globalization from below, which is really what democracy would be. And but I say it's, you know, these are very complex issues, which my book on this is going to be a very long and complex book in which I do lay out what I hold. But most basically, I think what we need now is to see that we need to move to a democratic world. And then there will be all sorts of debates about what's the best means.
But I agree with the Founding Fathers. I'm not for a pure democracy because 51% could say all blacks are slaves. I'm for a republic system where you have a Bill of Rights. And you look at Article 30 and 31 of the UN Charter, it erases the previous 29 rights that sound wonderful. So that's what I'm talking about being a threat.
Well, and that's absolutely essential, and I would think it would have to be what we would call a modified democracy, that is, the kind that we have, and I would advocate that we would have a global Bill of Rights and responsibilities. And in my C-SPAN lecture, I was emphasizing the fact that beneath all the differences of the various religions and cultural traditions, there is a set of basic universal human values that we all do share, and that they're diametrically opposed to the values of the global plutocracy.
But the globalists are using the media they own to warp our values and literally give us what I would call satanic world values of do as thou wilt, predatory system, where we all feed on each other.
That's absolutely right. In fact, as a theologian, I use the term the demonic to refer to this kind of values that have been dominating us increasingly in the world. And so that what I would be talking about would be a form of global order that would be diametrically opposed to that kind of globalism that you're rightly opposed to.
So you're saying this global system, though, wouldn't force, quote, a rogue nation to join it?
Well, I say there are all sorts of difficult questions.
But I'm asking you.
Well, I have not even finished my book on this, so I'll be very glad to come back and talk about it when I've worked out my ideas on it. Right now, I'm still focusing on 9/11 and the...
Would you like me to send you UN and Ex-Im Bank and IMF decade-old plans to give people a false left choice?
Sure. I'm interested to get all the information I can.
All right. Well, I appreciate you letting me diatribe on that subject. It's just that, David, I think you've done a fabulous job exposing 9/11, but if we take that energy... I have said from the day of 9/11, of course, 2 months before 9/11, I said they'd use bin Laden to take the blame, who's their agent, when the military-industrial complex attacks the World Trade Center. And then day one, I went on air and said they did it, and I took all the heat for it. And I've since seen other people rise up and then try to limit the debate, which I know you've never done. I commend you for looking at all views, but... I did warn people that the truth of 9/11 would be allowed out into Europe and the rest of the world as a way to demonize America. And I want to point out the neocons themselves are nothing but a capo regime for a larger global mafia, and they're letting their minions take all the blame for it.
Yeah, I say there's much going on behind the scenes that the people are not allowed to see, and certainly the... mainstream media doesn't do much to give us a glimpse of that.
All right, let's get into your presentation in kind of a condensed form, if you would be so kind, sir, of what you did on C-SPAN, because I think it's a good argument, a technique, just with the facts that I found to be extremely effective and powerful.
Well, with regard to American Empire, I pointed out that there are two basic ideas anymore. There's no longer debate whether there is an American empire. That was the old debate. But now it's just, is it benign or not benign? And you have, of course, a powerful majority arguing that, of course, we're an empire, but we're the first benign empire in history, most magnanimous, because what we're doing is going out trying to bring freedom and democracy and human rights to the world.
But every empire says that.
Every empire has said that. We just have much more mass media to communicate our message. Then I argued that with 9/11, there are four basic views, and of course, which view you hold will have a great effect on what you think about the American empire. The first view, of course, is the official view that that 19 Muslims out-tricked our trillion-dollar defense system, and were able to bring down three buildings, first time in history. Steel frame high-rise buildings have ever been brought down apart from controlled demolition. So these guys were very bright. That's the official story. Second view is that, that was right, but what we mean by 9/11 is really the fact the United States used it opportunistically to advance the American empire. The third view is that the official story is more false because we actually, the U.S. agencies knew in advance that the attacks were going to occur and deliberately let them occur in order to advance the American empire. And that also includes, of course, the pretext for passing the Patriot Act and other domestic policies. And then finally, the fourth view is that, yes, they did have foreknowledge, but the main reason they had foreknowledge is that they actually planned and orchestrated and carried out the events.
Oh, so it's four views. My memory failed me. Which view, Mr. Griffin, on the record, do you believe is, with all the evidence, which view do you think is probably what happened?
Well, as I said on the air, there is considerable evidence for the third view, but there is even more evidence, and of course that doesn't contradict the third view evidence, for the fourth view, so that there are just so many things about what happened 9/11.
Yeah, it could only be that they ran the whole operation.
That's right, and for people who haven't heard this before, and of course that wouldn't be many people listening to your show, but other people, they immediately say, oh, that's outrageous, that's impermissible, you're going beyond the bounds of civilized speech and so on, and give all these a priori arguments, our own government wouldn't do that.
They're emotional. That just couldn't be. That's impossible.
So all I ask is that people will not dismiss it out of hand.
Well, we have the official government documents over and over again. We have Gladio, we have Northwoods, we have... where the government admits they carry out terror attacks.
That's right. But again, most people are not informed about that. You probably wouldn't find more than one or two people in 100 who would know about Operation Northwoods.
And that's after 3.5-4 years of us harping on it.
That's right. Bamford's book came out about that long ago.
Yeah, it came out in early 2001.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So, I mean, we can't blame the people for holding these views because insofar as they rely on mainstream media, that's the view they are taught about America and our leaders. And it's just mandatory that we have shows such as yours and many others that give an alternative view. And I
want to get more into 9/11, David, Ray Griffin, but right now I want to bring this up to you. I know the globalists did it. I know they executed it, and I know they're arrogant right now because they're going to do it again real soon unless we expose who's behind it. Then they lose their motive. I think that the next attack's going to be much bigger. I don't put it past the globalists to detonate a nuke in this country. I don't put it past them to release smallpox. I see the same pre-positioning and pre-programming going on in the media right now that I saw before 9/11. And I think we're in a race to shift the paradigm. And then they may back off. What do you think?
Well, I'm afraid you're right that when they need another big surge and as the present regime gets more and more unpopular, the appeal is always to fear and we will protect you. So I'm afraid you're quite likely right that they're at least seriously considering it. Whether there's anything that we can do, whether we can... inform enough people in time to make them back off, it would be hard to know.
We're in a race, ladies and gentlemen. David Ray Griffin, I really appreciate him coming on with us. He's going to be with us into the next hour. We're going to tell you how to get his fine books as well. So stay with us. We'll return, and we'll have time to take some of your calls as well for David Ray Griffin later in the next hour. 1-800-259-9231. My website, by the way, is InfoWars.com. The other is PrisonPlanet.tv. Manipulating society. By doing that, they control the factories, the people, the environment, everything. That's their business, is manipulating, giving you false choices, and scaring you into submission. And 9/11 was so sloppy, I believe it's actually meant to come out and then to be spun. But regardless, we've got to expose it. We are going to expose it. And I hope you'll get my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. It dwarfs my previous films, and they're among some of the best, according to the reviews. It's 3 hours long. It is a mini-series. It covers the police state, an hour on 9/11, and then an hour on the Bush, Nazi, Schwarzenegger, IBM, Connection, and the Order of Death, and their philosophy, that Luciferian, demonic philosophy. That's really what drives them, and that's why this is a groundbreaking film, because we just went where the news took us, and it really is spiritual at the end of the day. So I hope you'll get this new film. I mean, it's produced very high quality, you know, shot on big TV cameras and, of course, on handheld. In the field, live action, interspersed with documents. At the RNC is the backdrop for all the information that comes out. 1-888-253-3139 is the toll-free number to call. Operators can answer all your questions about different specials we're offering. 888-253-3139. Or go to InfoWars.com to order via the Safe Secure Shopping Cart or to watch clips of the films. Or simply go to PrisonPlanet.tv and watch all of it online right now, 15 cents a day, 12 of my films, dozens of other films, my weekly TV show, hundreds of audio interviews. You'll see this one posted there, PrisonPlanet.tv. David Ray Griffin, how do people get your book or your books? I've seen them in some bookstores. Or is there a website? How should we get your books?
Well, there are lots of ways. As we like to say, you can get them at good bookstores everywhere. But also, you can go on to interlinkbooks.com, or you can go to amazon.com. And if you look under the second book, the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, you'll see almost 2-for-1 offer where you can get both books for almost the price of one.
All right. So the two books are the New Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 Commission Report. And what's
Omission,
the full title?
The subtitle is Omissions and Distortions.
I was sent a copy, but I didn't bring it to the office. I apologize. David, let's continue. We're going to go into the next hour. What are some of the issues you want to discuss concerning 9/11? I mean, I want to focus in on the fourth part and the evidence for that. Is that okay?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and start getting into the fourth view on 9/11.
Okay. Well, there are several parts of the story that simply cannot be explained apart from its being at least partly an inside job. One of those, of course, is the collapse of the towers. And as your listeners know, steel frame high-rise buildings have never come down in the history of this universe solely because of fire or because of fire and the impact of the planes. And, of course, Building 7 didn't have any plane hit it. Furthermore, when you look, you know, people come up with these scenarios of how these buildings might have come down, and they allege they were poorly built with weak trusses and all that. And, of course, that's all false. But even if one could countenance the pancake theory, with the Twin Towers, you've still got those enormous steel columns, massive steel columns, that constituted the major weight-bearing part of
the And the 9/11 report just says those didn't exist.
That's right. That's one of the two or three biggest lies, as they say, the most of the weight was borne by the exterior columns, and the core of the buildings consisted of a hollow steel shaft just filled with elevators and stairwells. So they denied the most distinctive thing about those buildings when they were built.
Stay there. We're going to start the third hour.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
David Ray Griffin, author, professor, expert on 9-11, will be with us for about 40 minutes into this hour, so we have plenty of time to talk about 9-11 and take your calls. Then we've got another guest joining us at about 45 after, a little mini-guest, but very important information, so stay with us for that. And I've got some other news here that I want to get David Ray Griffin's opinion on, because it all ties in to 9-11. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we will start taking your calls at 1-800-259-9231. And we've got a lot of callers that are already holding, so again, we'll be getting to those quite soon. There's four views on 9-11. I think David Ray Griffin has really said that properly when he stated that. We've gone over the four views. The fourth view is that the government was basically purely behind it, criminal elements of it, orchestrated it, and as he said, the predominant evidence, the majority of the totally documented evidence, it all points and supports that, as I've been saying since day one of September 11th. Let's continue with part four in describing the evidence. You were talking about the collapse of the towers.
Well, yes. The towers have at least 10 characteristics of controlled demolitions, that is, where explosives are precisely placed throughout the buildings in order to bring them down in a way that they don't topple over all the buildings around them. I mean, if those buildings had come down some other way, they would have killed, you know, hundreds of thousands of people and destroyed much of lower Manhattan. So it was very important that they be brought down straight down, as in controlled demolition. And anybody who's looked at the websites that have these can see that all three buildings do exactly that. There is no other way that such buildings can come down.
If your building was owned by Larry Silverstein with a double insurance policy, it was totally destroyed. But if it wasn't, it got light damage.
That did seem to be an interesting coincidence, didn't it?
And then he says that they pulled Building 7, but we're supposed to ignore that.
Yeah, and then as was revealed on your show, Giuliani says he knew ahead of time that the towers were going to come down. Well, how in the world could anybody have known ahead of time? Because, as I say, that has never happened before. There would have been no reason to predict the towers would have come down. And as you stressed on your show, the firemen going up the South Tower, you know, were very calm and thought they had the fire under control. There was not a thought in anybody's mind that the towers might collapse.
We had the initial planes hit. The jet fuel burns, catches some low-burning fires, wouldn't even get near melting steel. Then it almost completely burned out in the North Tower. People are hanging out the windows, wouldn't melt their flesh, but it'll melt four-foot-around steel-reinforced beams sprayed with asbestos to protect them. It's ridiculous.
And even more ridiculous is the story about the South Tower, because, as you know, a good deal of the fuel burned outside and created that enormous fireball that was great for TV effects. But that meant there was very little fuel left to feed the fire inside, and therefore the fire in the South Tower was burning down even more quickly. So,
well, the firefighters reported two small fires in that building.
In building, and that's true of Building 7, where the pictures that we have from various locations show that there were fires only on the 7th and 12th floors of that massive 47-story building, and they want to tell us that...
And the commission doesn't even mention that building.
No, the...
It's like it's a bug somebody stepped on. Doesn't
even
count.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I have in mind when I say omissions and distortions. So these omissions are enormous omissions, the fact that they wouldn't even mention the Building 7 collapsed.
I want to get more into how the commission put out false diagrams of the buildings when we get back, and then continue with our guests and your calls.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
8 minutes, 25 seconds into this third hour, David Ray Griffin, professor, author, lecturer, joins us talking about the new Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 whitewash the commission engaged in. I love it. The commission is appointed by George W. Bush. Half the commission is in business with the Carlyle Group or the Bin Ladens directly. The head staffer is a minion of Condoleezza Rice and a chief neocon with connections to the 9/11 perpetrators. It's like when Janet Reno appointed John Danforth with two Justice Department aides as a Justice Department investigation to investigate herself on Waco. And they call it independent. I mean, it's just all bald-faced lies. We're talking about the fourth view of 9/11, that the globalists actually carried it out. The criminal cabal carried it out. We were going through the evidence of this. In the 9/11 report, which I did read, and it was torturous. I mean, it was so self-contradictory. It's like a low-grade moron wrote it. But again, they know 99.9% of people don't read these type of publications. I mean, it was laughable. I mean, I never even addressed it in any detail because it was too much to address. It was like telling me to, you know, shovel out a million horses' stalls or something. It was just an impenetrable job of ham-fistedness. But they do stuff, as he's mentioned in there, as showing diagrams up on their big TV screens for the TV crews of, look, I have this on tape. There were no pillars here. This was all hollow. It was weakly built. And so that's why it fell. When these buildings were over-engineered, and we've read the reports by Namuru Yamasaki, the designer, articles he'd written, a major digest on architecture, all of this, the chief of construction for the building, who died on 9/11 in the buildings, of course, conveniently, saying it was meant to take multiple crashes from large jetliners. But I mean, David Ray Griffin, I mean, I'm glad you brought this up on C-SPAN. They just say these pillars don't exist, and these other shows on TV, there's probably been 10 of them about, well, why the towers fell. They all say that those pillars don't exist. I mean, it's really getting ridiculous.
Well, they have to deny their existence, even though, as any book about the World Trade Center, like James Glantz's book, Glantz and Lipton, of the New York Times, points out that when the World Trade Center towers were built, that was a very distinctive design, and it was very controversial, and so there was an enormous amount of discussion about it. So now for the what I call the Kane-Zelikow report, because that's most important to point out that the report was really... the whole commission was run by, and the report was finally formulated by Philip Zelikow, who is essentially a member of the Bush administration. I mean, it was just as if Dick Cheney had supervised the commission's report on how well the White House did. So it's not independent at all. It's just an inside cover-up job. But that's so important because I use the analogy of the old 78 phonograph players. Sometimes the records would collapse, but you always still had that spindle sticking up the middle. Well, if the pancake theory about the towers even were plausible, the floors would have collapsed, but you still would have had those 47 spindles, those massive steel columns sticking several hundred feet up into the air.
Well, I have a five-part series called New York. by PBS. And an entire 2 hours of the five-part series is about the World Trade Center. And I have film from every angle, and then they brag about how no building had ever been built so strong, and no set of buildings, how huge these were, and it shows these giant pillars in the middle of the building. But I guess I'm insane. I'm with Al-Qaeda, because if I went to a major university, which we've done, and went to their architecture department, and where the building's always been studied, and pull that out, I'm insane. Those don't exist on the blueprints, David.
That's right.
I'm with Al-Qaeda.
This is extreme revisionism. So, you know, the right usually complains about revisionist views of history, and now they've pulled off the biggest revisionism probably of recent history to deny that. Let me give another example of the extreme lies. I mean, the audacity of the lies in there. Before, this has to do with flight number 93 in Pennsylvania, and the question, was it shot down? Well, so much evidence suggests it was shot down by our own government, but, of course, our government has denied it. Now, the 9/11 Commission report does not face any of that evidence, even though it's massive. They'd simply ignore it as if it didn't exist. And then they try to get around it by saying, look, Cheney didn't give the shoot-down order till 10 minutes after, and that was 4 minutes or more.
Because it's on record he did this. Our ambassadors have even told foreign leaders, but since they have it on record, they just changed the time.
That's right. And, you know, Richard Clark had reported that the shoot-down order was given about quarter till 10, and so there was plenty of time for the Air Force to track the plane and shoot it down. Even Wolfowitz said that we were on the tail and ready to shoot it down. Nevertheless, even Cheney had said he was immediately hustled down shortly after the South Tower.
And again, they shoot it down, so within the Pentagon, people think they actually did something. This was part of the whole program?
Well, you know, it is funny they didn't take credit for shooting it down. They could have said, see, we were trying to protect Washington.
But internally, that story is allowed out.
Yeah. So in any case, what does the 9/11 Commission do? It says Cheney didn't go down to the underground bunker until 9:58, almost 10 o'clock. And so by the time he got around to giving the shoot-down order, Flight 93 had already crashed. And so he couldn't have possibly been responsible for ordering it to be shot down.
Now,
they lied by 45 or 50 minutes as to when Cheney went down below.
Well, you also, again, mentioned that in their entire report, they don't even mention Building 7. I know I'm repeating this, but a 47-story building, think of all the covers the Madrid fire got.
Yeah.
It was 40 stories.
If it hadn't been for the Twin Towers, which were so huge and got, you know, so romantic, this would have been the really big story. And any city in the world that where a 47-story building collapsed, that would have been, in a sense, the story of the year.
Well, the Alfred P. Murrow building was 9 stories.
Yeah, but 47 stories, that is a humongous building. And yet,
but it wasn't hit by an airplane. Now, they've had 4 stories on it. First, a gas tank blew up. Now they admit it never did. Then the fires burned and made it collapse. Then the scientists looked at it. Wouldn't happen. Okay. Then they said it was a combination of things. Now they say that the North Tower fell and hit it and knocked out its support column. But publicly, it's not even in the main debris field. None of the North Tower hit it. There was no damage to it. Then fire started. I mean, this is insane.
But, you know, there's so many people who believe it. I was on a show the other night, and a caller called in and said, you're just absolutely crazy because we know how building number 7 collapsed. There was all that fuel in there, and it got set on fire and caused this massive fire. Well, that's one of the stories, and you know, that's what the FEMA report put out, that maybe that fuel caught on fire.
Maybe it caused the exact metal columns to implode first and the penthouse to fall, and then it crimps and falls in on itself.
They ignore the fact that the fire showed there was no massive fire in the building. And
but a massive fire wouldn't have done it to begin with.
That's right.
I mean, look at Madrid. We had flames shooting 100 feet in the air, white hot, shooting straight up for a day and a half, and nothing but tiny inch-around ceiling supports melted.
Right, and the same thing in the Philadelphia fire of 1991. And nevertheless, that's all ignored and said, oh, that fuel in the basement somehow got pumped upstairs.
But now they don't say that. Now they say the buildings were all built improperly.
Sure, but my point is that they put out these various stories, and so a good deal of the populace believes this or that, and they don't hear about the revision. And
well, I'll tell you what, I want to go through more of the reasons that we look as a predominant theory on four, because the evidence points towards the globalists doing it. We got Ed, Rick, Jeff, Mike. We have a rule on this show. If somebody disagrees, we go to them first. Let's talk to Carol in Ohio, who's been holding for about 45 minutes. Carol, are you still there?
Yes, I certainly am.
Okay, real fast, fire your question.
All right, I have a question. The foreword to your book, New Pearl Harbor, which I have, and I also saw you in C-SPAN, we're all very hungry to get information on 911. The foreword to your book, The New Pearl Harbor, was written by Richard Falk. Would you explain to me, sir, that you worked with this man as a team? This man is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations who worked on New World Order projects for the CFR, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and the Rockefeller Foundation. John Cobb is also a buddy of yours and co-writes with you on your project.
Well, I'm not going to defend these individuals if this is true, but I will say I've read one of his books. It's good information.
It's true.
Let's get a comment from our guest on this.
Let's find out what his
I know. Stay there, Carol. We got to give him David.
Well, my association with Richard Falk and John Cobb, who was my actually my professor of theology, those are two of the associations I am most proud of. And with regard to Richard...
Globalism.
Pardon?
Globalism is what it's all about.
Well,
what's your agenda?
You've got these little slogans, but as I was explaining
to you... Tell you what, stay there, David. We got a break. We'll let Carol finish up on the other side and let you respond. And I've got my comment on this subject. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we just got this segment part of the next segment with David Ray Griffin, so we need to hurry because we got loaded phone lines here, and we'll give everybody a chance. But I want to cover a few other lies of the 9/11 Whitewash Commission, the Unindependent Commission, the Controlled Commission, the Kangaroo Commission, the Farce Commission. I'm sorry, I'm perseverating. Carol in Ohio, real fast, finish up what you were saying. I'm going to let David respond.
Okay. On C-SPAN, he advocated working with NGOs. Those are global United Nations groups. His advocacy, his solutions is a global Bill of Rights. He is a one-worlder. He is a part of the problem. He's giving out truth, but his solutions are playing right into the agenda.
Okay, Carol, thank you for the call. David Ray Griffin, response?
Well, as I say, I have not published what I'm in favor of, and it's with regard to Richard, you know, Richard Falk, people get their little slogan that he's part of the CFR. Well, what his primary act is, he told me, on the CFR, which is not one of the organizations that he spends much time with, was to oppose David Rockefeller. Furthermore, if you want to read Richard's views, I would suggest you read his book on humane governance and also his critique called Predatory Globalization. And you will see this is no scary figure. This is simply a guy who believes that the present world order is very unfair. We have global apartheid, which is worse than apartheid in South Africa. And he's trying to find a way that we might move beyond that to some sort of humane global order.
Oh, boy. Let's talk to Ed in Utah. Ed, you're on the air with David Ray Griffin. Go ahead.
Am I there?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for having him on. Mr. Griffin, Professor, your book was featured in the American Free Press newspaper. In fact, Alex, I think they introduced a book, and I want to throw a couple things into the mix. You brought up Mr. Silverstein, who did, in fact, was the one of the owners of the Trade Towers. And the other one, of course,
he was the chief owner.
Pardon me?
Chief owner, yes.
Chief owner. But the other one is Frank Lowy, a man from Israel. And I want to make the connection here, Alex, when you have, and by the way, the American Free Press has brought to light Corporal Timothy McNiven, the man that has on the front page of their a couple of issues ago, Alex, has brought to light the fact that in 1976 in
I interviewed him. They had a war game Germany concerning exact attacks of 9/11. Look, I got a lot of callers.
Here's my point.
You're bringing up Israel. Do you want to get Griffin to comment on that, or do you want to comment?
Can I finish my point,
sure.
and I'll go?
Yeah, of course you can, sir.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Chertoff, who is from Israel. Yes, he was born in New Jersey, but it was on a stopover. Mr. Chertoff is the man that released 140, what I say are the Israeli Mossad perpetrators of 9/11 that very day. He released them, Alex, and sent them back, deported them back to Israel in the months after 9/11. And so when you look at this and what Colonel Don de Grand Prix has exposed, that is Mr. Meigs, another Israeli that took over Popular Mechanics last September so that they could fire the editorial staff there, Alex, so they could come on there and attack you and the American Free Press and others, 9/11 researchers, when they put that Mr. Chertoff's cousin up on the Art Bell Show based on this phony...
I know. We got loaded lines. What I've got to give our guests at least as much time as you're getting.
Israeli involvement, I'd like him to respond to.
Yeah, I knew that was the question. That's why I tried to say it. Mr. Griffin?
Well, I would like to reinforce his point about Popular Mechanics. If people think that's the magazine it used to be, it's not. It was taken over, and this young guy, they call him the senior researcher. He's 25 years old.
The cousin of the Homeland Security
Director. Right. And so that piece is pure propaganda.
And he will not come on this show, but then accuses me on other shows of being afraid to debate him.
Yeah. With regard to Israel's involvement, there are two kinds of 9/11 researchers, those who try to figure out what really happened that day, and that's a worthy enterprise. Some of us simply focus on the point that the official story is false, and therefore...
Yeah, we know it's the wildest conspiracy theory ever, and I'll say this about Israel. I think Israel's corrupt, out of control, does a lot of bad things, but these intelligence agencies are all mixed together. There's subgroups in every agency that works together. Did Israel know? Did Israel support it? Yes. But did they have NORAD stand down and do all this other stuff? No. I mean, it's like the Kennedy assassination. You had a bunch of intelligence agencies and the mafia together. The globalists do this to have membranes of separation and plausible deniability. David?
Yeah, so I'm just agnostic on what role, if any, Israel played. My focus is on the fact that the official story doesn't make sense.
Which I think is really the central thing to attack. I mean, their story is it's complete ridiculous fraud.
That's right, and that's one thing the 9/11 truth movement agrees on, whereas every researcher has his own or her own private theory.
All right, we'll be right back.
Really happened.
More calls coming up.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
When the levee breaks, when the facts come out, the globalists and their controllers will have no place to stay. They're going down. They're going down now. They're going down. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Look, bottom line, they wanted to cover up 9/11. They can't contain it. They can't control it. And I saw David Ray Griffin's presentation on C-SPAN. It was hardcore. It was terrifying to the NWO. We do have to make sure, though, that they don't use that energy to suck us off into some phony left-right world government as the answer to the evil American fascista, when in reality it's all controlled by the same people. But the process of exposing the globalist is going along quite nicely. And I like it. I like it that there's so many other prominent people out fighting the globalist and exposing their manufactured terror systems, because it makes us all safer. There's just one or two of us doing this, they'll kill you. And they have killed researchers. But when there's thousands of people, and there are now thousands of prominent people, millions of average folks taking action, it's only a matter of time. I'm sorry I'm having to go to the calls quickly, but, I mean, we could take calls all day and never give David Ray Griffin a chance to talk about anything. I'll have to have him back up sometime for 2 hours if he'll do it. But Look, I mean, I've been in this since before 9/11. I understand their program, and again, I think overall what he's doing is very positive. I may not agree with his views on globalization and there being another path because power always takes over mechanisms of government. That's why you have to limit government. I agree with the founders. But we can agree to disagree on that. Plus, I haven't seen his full views. I will review his new book when it comes out on this subject. Anything you want to add before we talk to Rick, Jeff, and Mike? That's all we have time for.
Yeah, I would like to say that my second book, The 9/11 Commission Report, has proven to be convincing to people that didn't find the first book convincing for one reason or another. For example, former CIA member Ray McGovern said that he never had accepted this alternative view of 9/11 until he read my second book and saw the obvious lies and omissions.
Well,
and
he was the chief CIA advisor to Ronald Reagan. We've had him on.
Yeah, so he's a very highly credible figure.
On 2 years ago, and he said he didn't put it past the government to carry out terror.
That's right, but he had never endorsed the view, and now he has on a public radio in Wisconsin recently. He said.
So really, what's happening is people in the power structure. And I'm looking at this objectively and coldly, really are starting to have a conscience and really are starting to speak up. And so a lot of people shouldn't be so paranoid that, ooh, we can't trust these people, because it doesn't help the NWO for all these prominent people to be going public.
That's right. And there are a lot of Republicans, such as Pat Buchanan. And you know, the Zogby poll indicated that 20-some percent of the Republicans in New York believe that the president, the White House, had advanced knowledge of the attacks.
50% total, and then the CNN poll was 90%. Did you ever see that CNN poll?
That one does sound extreme, but I didn't see how the question was worded, but it's significant that
I have it in my film with the question.
Yeah, that even. You know, people who considered themselves Republicans and conservatives said they doubted, they didn't believe the official
story. Well, the question was, to paraphrase, and I think this is exact, do you believe the government had prior knowledge of 9/11 and consciously failed to act?
Right.
90%.
Is that right? Well.
Yeah, and that was out of like 18,000 respondents. Yeah. Let's talk to Rick in Reno. Rick, thanks for holding, my friend. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Jones, I put forth the challenge to both of you gentlemen to go to archive.org, find the text document entitled The Final 9/11 Commission Report, and each of you write a review, because they so far have not been professionally reviewed, this document.
All right, I'll try to check that out. What's the name again?
Archive.org.
All right, what else is on your mind?
That's it. I'm putting the challenge to you, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right. Well, send me a copy of it. I mean, so I don't have to dig it out. Tips at Infowars.com. David, if folks want to email you, or is there a particular website you want to give out where people can contact you?
No, I don't have a website. I just hope people will read the books and make up their own minds.
Well, before we take two final calls and let you go, I was flattered. I had no idea when you first came on. You said you'd learned a lot. From this broadcast, and coming from you, I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, I've cited your show in my books, particularly the second edition.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know you got it directly from the show. So.
Yes, and particularly in the second edition, the updated edition of New Pearl Harbor, I cited, and then again in the second book.
Well, look, I don't care who gets credit for being the first person on 9/11. But it's an authoritative position to be able to claim you're the godfather or the granddaddy of the 9/11 truth movement. But, I mean, 2 months before 9/11, and I've never done this before or since, I said, call the White House, they're going to attack the World Trade Center, call Bush, tell him don't do it, Bin Laden will take the blame, he's their asset. And I did it from day one and took a lot of heat, and then other people come along, not you, but come along and claim that they are the sole source and start telling everyone what to do. I think that's very dangerous.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I myself very clear about the fact I was a Johnny-come-lately to this issue, and I appreciate the work that you and lots of others did that made my own books possible.
But I wouldn't be here saying that. I've never said this in the last few months, except that other people are saying, I am the founder, I am the leader, and literally saying, I order people, I say what you talk about. I mean, it's crazy. So I'm standing up and saying, okay, I'm the granddaddy, because I really am. I mean, it sounds obnoxious. I'm having to do that.
Yeah, I say it's unfortunate, and I hope for the most part we can just keep the focus on the facts. And,
exactly. It's not about Alex Jones or David Ray Griffin or the Easter Bunny.
Exactly.
It's about a military-industrial complex that needs a new enemy to fight, and so it's making us the enemy.
Exactly. And the more the 9/11 truth movement gets embroiled in ego wars, the less effective we'll be in terms of our real task.
Well, I'm almost embarrassed that I've come out and said this, but if you look at the record of my site, you'll never find us doing this. But you understand the power position of being able to claim you're the founder, and then other people claim that, and then I'm sure you've seen people claiming that, you know, they speak ex cathedra, basically.
Yeah, as I said in my first book, in a note, that I didn't have time to go back and see who had first discovered what, and so I was very conscious of the fact I wasn't giving proper credit, but I hope that if the movement is successful, that'll be the time for some historian to write a history and give that kind of proper credit.
But again, understand, sir, only reason I raise it to a scholar such as yourself is because others have done this.
No, I understand that. And
then they claim authority. I have no authority. I'm not saying I have a right to tell anybody anything. I learn from everybody. I've learned from you. So, it's amazing. Two final calls. Jeff in Massachusetts, and then Michael in New York. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, my original question was on depleted uranium poisoning. And as far as depleted uranium poisoning is concerned, are the Americans just getting poisoned?
Well, it shows what murderers the globalists are. You don't think they'd kill 3,000? The thousands of our troops are already starting to get sick from this in the Iraqis. David, comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, this idea that we're promoting a culture of life, disregard for the lives of the workers and people living around the World Trade Center to come out and say the air was clean and now thousands are getting sick and dying, and the same thing in Iraq, and of course we've had that in other wars, in Afghanistan, and it's absolutely criminal that we're still using this depleted uranium.
Well, it shows the cavalier attitude towards life.
That's right. One way that some elitists talk about American troops, you know, they talk publicly about, oh, support our troops, be patriotic, and so forth. But
the saying they have is, young men are dying. That's what young men are for.
That's right. So some of them refer to a soldier as OFU, one fodder unit.
Amen. I also have some information too, if you'd like me to give a website address.
Yeah, real fast. I got to let him go in the next minute or two.
Okay. www.cuttingedge.org, David Bay, 1-800-451-8211. You can look at the website to learn all about the information.
Now, I know who he is. He carries my videos.
Okay.
Good guy.
Thanks
for the call. I really appreciate it. Last caller, Michael in New York. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi. Good afternoon, Alex. Good afternoon, David. Alex, with 9/11, I watched it live that morning, and Tom Brokaw on NBC stated that flight over Pennsylvania, we shot it down. Then, within 5-10 minutes at the max, they retracted that statement.
The state police saw it get blown up, folks.
Yep. Now,
jets don't spread over 8 miles.
The buildings, when they came down, I mean, anybody that has watched some professional demolished buildings in the past, when you see those buildings come down, you know they're demolished.
Well, that's a point David never could get into, is that we had all this concrete turned into powder, David.
Well, that's right. That's one of the 10 characteristics of controlled demolition, and in this case it was extreme, that virtually all of the concrete was pulverized into very tiny powder particles. And refer to Tom Brokaw, but also good old Dan Rather. When he saw Building 7 come down, he said, well, that's just like those buildings we've seen brought down by controlled demolition.
Looks like well-placed dynamite. Finish up in 30 seconds, Michael.
Okay, and so now, Alex, your new video, it's great. I'm making copies. Thank you. And you referred to the New World Order as the Fourth Reich, and I just wanted to touch base on that because previously, earlier in the show, your statement that, you know, the New World Order is a corporate thing, and but that's where they all infiltrated after the war. Of course, Operation Paperclip, our government agents brought them in quietly, created the CIA.
Yeah, I call it, and I appreciate your call. Great points, Michael. I'm sorry these great callers don't have any more time or all the others that are holding. But I call it the Fourth Reich because they were supporters of Nazis, the current regime. They love the fascist model. They love the word Homeland Security. They love the black uniforms. Skull and Bones is the same symbol as the Nazis. It is the same group, the same spirit. And David Ray Griffin, do you agree with that?
Well, yes. My colleague Richard Falk is now working on asking the question, will the global empire amount to global fascism?
All right. Well, I really appreciate you, David, coming on. Can we get you back up sometime for 2 hours and take calls?
Sure.
Because, yeah, a marathon's what we need, because out of 2 hours, we get an hour and a half of broadcast time and more time to talk to these callers. Thanks for spending time with us, and take care.